Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Envision This. Our guest tonight, Shelley Hennessy, envisions this, a garden on every roof top in every low-income neighborhood so that this population can have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. She's developed a passion for creating health and wellness programs that are essentially an expansion on the idea of community gardens. She's also personally and professionally involved in other projects to promote holistic health. Shelley is a certified Inform, holistic health coach, distributor, and executive assistant at Nature's Sunshine. She's also the author of How I Beat Crohn's Disease, a pamphlet available on Amazon. Her vision, mission, and passion regarding holistic health has deep roots in her own personal experience. So, welcome, Shelley.
Thank you. How are you?
Shelley, am I saying your name right?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Oh, how wonderful. I would like to invite listeners to call in at any time during the show and to speak to Shelley. The number is 646-652-2235. So please join our conversation. Shelley, how would a garden on every rooftop in every low-income neighborhood help low-income people?
Well, you know, the low-income population are typically the ones with the highest amount of disease and the lowest access to fresh fruits and vegetables, which, you know, we all know fresh fruits and vegetables will leave you healthier, feeling better, you know, less chances of being diagnosed with chronic diseases, things like that. And they just don't have access to that in low-income neighborhoods. They typically only have access to maybe the local grocery store in the neighborhood that might be more like a convenience store as opposed to an actual grocery store, things like that. So if they had these rooftop gardens, they would have better access to fresh fruits and vegetables and be able to live healthier lifestyles, and their kids would be healthy, and, you know, they might even actually be able to afford to pack meals for their kids to take to lunch and things like that.
Wow. How would access to fresh fruits and vegetables change these people's lives and their neighborhoods?
You know, I think in low-income neighborhoods, I grew up in a low-income neighborhood, and most of the kids that I was friends with, they were just destitute, and they were just so despondent. They didn't even have, you know, when you don't even have access to decent food, and bless these kids, a lot of times they come to school, and all they had for dinner the night before was a package of oodles and noodles, you know, and that is energy-dense and nutrient-poor, and these kids just didn't feel good most of the time because they didn't have the right nutrients in their body. Well, if they have access to this, to, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, they could go to school having had some decent food the night before, some decent breakfast that morning, and possibly even a good lunch that day, providing that maybe, you know, the rooftop gardens had an affiliation with a farmer's market or something like that. But, you know, when you're hungry, it's very, very difficult to concentrate. And, you know, we know that boys a lot of times are more rambunctious just by nature anyways, you know, and then little girls, if they are rambunctious by nature, they're going to have a harder time sitting still if their little bellies are empty and their little bodies are void of any nutrients that they need to focus during the day. So there have not been any studies done on this, but I would imagine that the incidences of childhood obesity, the chronic diseases that go with obesity would be reduced. Kids would be able to focus better. They would learn better. It would be easier to engage them in class during lessons and things like that. Their parents may be in a better mood because they're eating better food. You know, it's just a whole big cycle of positive outcomes when everybody has access to fresh food.
I bet it would help the community of a building or the neighborhood, too.
Absolutely.
For these kids and for people in general to share gardening up on their rooftops.
Yes, absolutely. It is a great way to promote economic stimulus in a very poor neighborhood. You know, sometimes if it was, let's say it was a town where there were a lot of manufacturing done in the past, but the manufacturing companies for one reason or another have closed, and the former employees can't find work. Well, if you put gardens up on these people's rooftops, you can give them jobs again. You can give them money in their pocket. You know, say they have, they're in, one of the guys is in construction normally, and it's been raining all week. Well, that means he hasn't worked all week, so he probably can't feed his family. But if you have a rooftop garden up in his community, he could go and maybe volunteer for a day. Maybe the rooftop garden would have that kind of a program attached to it where, you know, if it's been a slow week at work or they just got laid off or whatever, they can come in and volunteer, and the payment would be taking food home for their families after the day. You know, and then like you said, it would bring all the communities together, and then everybody would be able to get to know each other again like they used to way back when being a neighbor wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. What kind of outside support and education and so forth would be necessary in order for building operators to consider putting a rooftop garden up?
Well, the first thing that we would need to do is get the engineers and decide whether, the rooftop is strong enough for a garden or not.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Florida, it should be relatively easy. We don't have snow or anything like that. Up north, they may have a little more of an issue because with the snow during the winter months, they may exceed the weight limit. But then we would go to, you know, we would have fundraisers, ask for donations, things like that for the community gardens. I know of a couple of grants where they have grants for school gardens.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You know, little things like that. I do know that I was asking around down here just for a local community garden. I went into Home Depot, and Home Depot donates materials often for programs like this. So, you know, feel-good programs like this very oftentimes get a lot of volunteers. They get a lot of press. So it's typically not too terribly difficult to acquire the resources needed for projects like this.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the community gardens and school gardens. What particular modifications would need to be made to move these gardens onto the rooftops of apartment buildings?
That part I'm not exactly sure about, because when I was doing the research for this particular project, I had to have exact numbers for exact buildings, and I couldn't quite acquire that while I was doing my paper. I would imagine it would be dependent on the actual building itself. So, for example, if we had, you know, an abandoned building, they could very possibly modify just the roof itself before we move things into it. You know, they could turn that whole building into a farmer's market or something like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How did your personal passion regarding community gardens develop?
You know, like I said, I grew up in a very poor neighborhood. Some of my friends were wonderful people, and they just were so, so poor. A lot of the kids didn't eat at all while we were at school. A lot of them had to go home to terrible home lives where, you know, food was not necessarily a priority anyway. So it's just sad to me that kids can't eat for whatever reason. I think it's terrible. You know, that's like fuel for a car when you eat. And if you can't eat, chances are good you're not going to succeed in whatever it is you want to do. You know, I personally was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and IBS in 97, so I know how it feels to be hungry, because with Crohn's disease, you don't eat. And it's terrible, the mental and emotional toll that it takes on you when you have to be hungry more often than not is just awful. It's terrible. And children should not have to experience that.
Are you in a position to help develop such programs in your own local community or national?
I am actually speaking with a man who is in charge of a company called GreenWorks, Inc. I am trying to get on his team, because that is the team that is helping Orlando's mayor make Orlando a more sustainable city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually in discussions with them about some possible projects in the future. I've also spoken to a couple of people at hospitals who are interested in the program, but I have not yet been able to cement anything permanent.
Well, it's good that you're getting some airtime now about it, right at the beginning, because that's when probably you'll need the most support and help from everybody. And
absolutely,
it's great to get the word out there.
Yes, I appreciate you letting me have some airtime. It's wonderful.
How do community gardens fit into your overall concept of health and wellness programs?
You know, it's the best source of fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, what is the best food to have but that it was just picked off of the bush or the tree or the plant or the vine or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and again, a side effect of good food and people eating it is everybody's healthy, and they feel better and they act better and they look better.
You also offer a program to businesses that would like to benefit their employees with comprehensive wellness programs. What would the benefits be for the employees?
The way my program works is by about halfway through my program, you no longer really have any chemicals that are now added to food in your body. So
mm-hmm.
what tends to happen is when people get to that point in any type of a program that is similar to mine, what happens when you get to the point where you want to fall off and stop doing it because you've just lost your mojo, the minute you eat something that you're not supposed to eat, you can feel it. Your body reacts to it the way it's supposed to. So you're kind of sluggish. You have maybe some mental fog when you've eaten some food dyes, things like that. And I have found, pardon me, I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I have found in my research that, there is a company out in the Midwest called Draper Inc. who has actually implemented this program, and they have actually received a 30% return on investment on their program, and they have a garden on site at their job and everything.
Wow.
So, you know, there are a lot of unintended consequences to a program such as this, like increase employee loyalty towards the company. They miss less days because they're not sick. They are generally in a better mood because they're not sick. A lot of unintended consequences happen when people are able to eat healthy and they made time to be able to exercise. But even if it's just a walking group within the business itself.
What are the benefits to the companies?
To the company, it would be the return, you know, the return on investment, and it would their direct return on investment would depend on what they invested into the wellness program, and a wellness program is absolutely something that you get what you pay for, but their benefit would end up being that they can now hire the cream of the crop, because they are now a company who is known for treating their employees very, very well and going out of their way so that their employees are healthy and happy. And what happens is the employees end up producing better for the company. So the company will not only earn a return on the program itself, but they will also earn a return on the extra work that the employees are doing, the extra amount of production that they're putting out, simply because they feel better.
Because they feel better and more.
Yeah.
And have a more positive
attitude
towards the company.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was just about to say. They feel better. Their loyalty is increased. They want to do more for the company because the company has done so much for them with the wellness program. Things like that, and those effects are very, very difficult to measure. I don't believe, in all the research that I've done, I don't believe that anyone was able to measure it exactly. They were able to measure, like for example, Draper Inc. received a 30% return on investment for their wellness program. However, they also got that great reputation for treating their employees well and things like that. And in turn, they can hire the cream of the crop. And they can be very, very, very particular about who they hire and things like that, just because they know, you know, the potential employees know that they're going to be treated exceptionally well. So the company is able to, you know, raise the bar on their standards.
Great. How would a company get in touch with you that was interested in this program, or how would you get in touch with a company that you thought would be interested?
I have cold emailed a couple of companies and mentioned my program to them. I've called a couple of chiropractors' offices and things. But if a company is interested in this program, they can get a hold of me by phone at 407-325-0204, or they can email me at michellehennessy240@yahoo.com. So it's my name, michellehennessy240@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Probably I'll ask you towards the end of the show to repeat that information. So if somebody didn't get it, stick with us and we'll do that. Also, if people are interested, please consider calling in and talking with Shelley. The call-in number is 646-652-2235. That's 646-652-2235. We'd love to hear from you. Shelley, you're also interested in holistic beauty. How did you come to be identified as a holistic beauty goddess?
I actually have been a licensed cosmetologist since 1996, the year before I was diagnosed. And I love doing hair. I love helping people. I love to make people feel their best. So I decided to call myself a holistic beauty goddess since I can make people feel fantastic and look fantastic from the inside out.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What are some of the tricks of the trade of that?
Pardon me?
How do you help people feel beautiful from the inside out?
Well, when people join my program, the Inform program that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, that is also where I help people detox all the chemicals from their body that is now in our food these days. So, and that has an effect on every part of the body. That has an effect on your skin. It has an effect on your hair, your nails, everything. So you begin to have a very youthful glow when you're on my program. I actually, one of my girlfriends, when she did the program with me, her face became far less swollen, and her skin cleared up around her face, and she didn't add any products to her regimen. She didn't change anything. All she did was eat well. So it makes quite a big difference. And I also, during my education, I learned how to make homemade skin remedies with using coconut oil and vitamin E oils and things like that. So every way I help people is very natural, and I like to help people with things like, so, for example, if a mom came in with her daughter and her daughter had acne, not only would I have her daughter eating coconut oil in something, but I would also have her possibly using some tea tree shampoo on her face, because tea tree oil has been shown to be very moisturizing, and it also helps relieve acne.
Ah.
And a lot of
great.
Times what happens, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's a whole big picture, because our body is one big, well-oiled machine. And I don't believe that it helps completely if you know just the outside or just the inside. I feel like if you know both, you can help far more people that way.
What would you like to tell us about your work as a Inform holistic health coach at Nature Sunshine?
Oh, my gosh, I love that program. It's absolutely fantastic. The Inform program is a 13-week program, and I am your coach. So we meet once a week, and you get a participant manual, and every week you bring your manual. We have a shake at the beginning of the meeting, and we talk about the week's successes, the week's challenges, what your goals for the next meeting are going to be, and we also write those down. We talk about different recipes. We discuss replacements for bad foods. So, for example, you know, if somebody is a sugar fiend and they love chocolate, okay, that's fine. Dark chocolate is a great way to start, and if you can't quite stomach dark chocolate, then you can put some peanut butter if you're not allergic to peanuts on there, or something like that, something along those lines. I am a fan of, especially for those who are very unhealthy, I am a fan of taking baby steps, and the 13-week program allows that. The Inform program allows for those baby steps because it is broken up week to week. And we also offer a lot of recipes. We have several different flavors of shakes. I have a recipe book. I want to say it's between 50 and 60 pages thick of other Inform users who have sent in the recipes that they have discovered themselves at home, and they've sent them in to us so that we can share them with everybody else.
That makes it nice and participatory, too.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, and that is the other thing about the program, is that it is very participatory. It is very easy to get your family on board. I am very, very big on familial support in the house, because it's hard enough to change your lifestyle with the general public around it is what it is, but to do it in your own home when you're the only one doing it is very difficult as well. So this program also makes it easier for you to bring it home, because we talk about cooking tips and things like that, and sometimes it even branches off into, you know,
one of the participants wants to have the class at her house so that she can give us a cooking competition and we have dinner at her house or whatever. So it's a great, great program. It's almost like Nature Sunshine took what I wanted to do out of my head and put it in a plan. It's fantastic.
Mm. Well, it sounds like a lot of what you do is helping change eating patterns, but also you're suggesting, and Nature Sunshine suggests, that supplements are valuable for almost any diagnosis out there, and I'm wondering if you'd say a little bit about the role of supplements.
I'm a huge fan of supplements. Many people, the supplements have not been, our supplements have been proven to possibly aid in, like we have one that's called Fixated. It has chromium in it, and chromium has been proven to help balance blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's little things like that. Herbs are wonderful prevention. I personally take quite a few of the herbs that are in our line to help maintain Crohn's disease and IBS. I'm fortunate enough that I don't take any pharmaceuticals. That was my choice. That wasn't directed by anyone. I did not like the way the pharmaceuticals were reacting in my body, so I decided to change it. And not that I can or would tell anyone to get off of their medications. That is not my place. I'm not a doctor. However, I do love herbs for prevention. Some herbs in some studies for a few things have been proven to help prevent certain things. And I apologize, but off the top of my head, I can't think of the single ones at the moment. I'm very deep into formulated herbs as opposed to just single herbs. Our herbs are fantastic. All of my grandchildren, we have children's line called Sunshine Hero. All of my grandchildren are on Sunshine Hero's daily and the DHEA, and so is my son. My daughters are both adults, so they are on different versions of our supplements, but they are on daily vitamins. You know, from the research that I've done, what I've learned is that our soil is no longer as nutrient-rich as it used to be. And
right.
That is, you know, and I have found that the supplements add what the soil is missing. I think we have five or six different multivitamin versions, and I say it that way completely on purpose because we have a couple of liquids, we have a couple of capsules, we have a couple of gel caps. We have a drink mix that you can put just right in your water. It's called Cardia or Sulfic 24. It's great. My son drinks that one every morning. We have so many different products that could help just about anyone with anything. Had I known about this company sooner, I probably would have been giving my grandfather some of these before he passed from dementia. Because ginkgo biloba has been shown to have beneficial effects on those having been diagnosed with dementia. And we have a couple of quite a few formulas with ginkgo biloba in it. I'm actually in one of them called Focus Attention that is recommended sometimes for children who've been diagnosed ADHD. I am very ADHD, and I find that the Focus Attention helps me focus quite a bit. My son also takes that one.
Aren't supplements highly processed?
Wonderful, wonderful prevention. Pardon me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Aren't herbal supplements as highly processed as pharmaceuticals?
No. As a matter of fact, our supplements go through 600 tests each batch. So each batch of raw material that comes into the Nature Sunshine plant is tested, and that those products are tested before it ever gets out onto the shelf 600 times. So from the time it gets to the plant to the time it reaches your hands, it has been tested 600 times for 600 different things, whether it's pathogens, bugs, you know, because they're plants or they're herbs, anything. Anything you could possibly find, they are qualitatively testing them to ensure that the product that you're getting is exactly the way it's labeled. Even our essential oils, we have essential oils. We've had them for quite some time, and our essential oils are very, very pure. So, yes, our products are made in lab. However, really, I would say that it's safer to say that our products are assembled in the lab as opposed to created in the lab. Ours are simply assembled there.
Mm. So they're kind of natural ingredients that are assembled carefully, but not engineered as well.
Correct. Yes, you are correct.
Shelley especially assists during consultations with Nature Sunshine clients that have gut issues. Shelley, how did you come to be so well educated in that particular area?
It started out just doing a paper on Crohn's disease, and then I learned that almost every process in your body starts in your gut. I did a paper on leaky gut, as I'm sure many of you have heard of leaky gut, and there are quite a few things that leaky gut is believed to be started by, but leaky gut is also the source of several, if not all, autoimmune diseases. In your intestines, I think everybody remembers from biology class, the little hairs, the villi, that move your digested food particles along and also help absorb the nutrients from that food. Well, underneath that villi, we have something called the tight junctions. Well, when those tight junctions come open, undigested food particles leak into your bloodstream and cause your immune system to start reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, pardon my French, all hell breaks loose and something comes of it, whether it be an autoimmune disease or some other type of disease, because your body recognizes that as a foreign object. It's not supposed to be in your bloodstream. There are several different things that can cause leaky gut. The consumption of sugar, which most people consume quite an enormous amount of sugar in a year. NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, antibiotics. So as wonderful as antibiotics are, they do also some damage because antibiotics kill all bacteria, not just the bad ones.
Right.
And it's that killing of all of that bacteria, that good, beneficial gut flora that starts a whole another host of issues that come on slowly. Because your body, and leaky gut is not something you feel, which is part of the problem, because since we can't feel it, we can't fix it before it, you know, before it gets to be a huge problem. So that is the biggest yes.
You wrote a pamphlet, a personal pamphlet, How I Beat Crohn's Disease. Sir,
mm-hmm.
What would you like to tell us about that pamphlet and how what's in it and how to access it?
I wrote it before I found Nature Sunshine. It's a very, very short synopsis of how I did it. Crohn's disease, along with most other autoimmune diseases, are very personal. So it takes a lot of soul searching to find out exactly what's going to work for you. You can, and I would advise taking ideas from other patients who have experienced similar symptoms as you. I have found that herbs and a very, very clean diet works best for me. I also meditate at least twice a day. Meditation helps a lot because, you know, way back when IBS was called nervous stomach. Well, nervous stomach is caused by anxiety and all kinds of things, and most autoimmune diseases can also be triggered by anxiety, depression, things like that. So meditation has been proven to help alleviate those things. So by meditating at least twice a day, me, helped any anxiety that I may have throughout the day or have had throughout the day, things like that. The pamphlet is available on Amazon. Like I said, I wrote it a few years ago before I found Nature Sunshine, so I'm actually going to be writing another one soon, as soon as I get a few other affairs in order. But the pamphlet really just centers around eating a clean diet and staying away from food additives and sugars and things like that.
Well, Burl, who ordinarily co-hosts with me on this show and is my husband, isn't with us this evening because he's suffering from some of the symptoms of Crohn's disease. And he often is in distress several days before he is due for his next shot of Humira. What would your two top recommendations be to us for dealing with this?
My top two would be to, A, meditate. If he is anxious about the Humira infusion, I would absolutely say meditate, number one. Number two, I would say eat as clean as you possibly can before those infusions, because when you eat badly, especially as a Crohn's patient, thing is, what stands Crohn's apart from the others is that it is your digestive system that is affected. So eating anything can be excruciatingly painful. So if you are, if he is anxious, I would say eat very clean. So whatever his favorite healthy foods are, that is what I would suggest.
Yeah. Well, he does try to stay clean. He has to, he can't eat large meals at any given time, so he has to do a lot of grazing, you know, a lot of little short things. But we try to keep it fruits and vegetables and you know, things that, grains that are not going to cause a problem.
Right, right. I would also suggest keeping a food diary and a symptom diary together at the same time.
And that makes sense.
That is a great, great, great way to figure out which foods aggravate you the worst.
That makes sense. Along with diet, you mentioned meditation. What other stress-relieving activities are probably helpful for somebody with gut issues?
Coloring. I love to color, personally. Another girlfriend of mine has decided that she wants to take up crocheting. So she's doing crocheting. What I would tell someone is to find what relaxes you and do that. Some people it relaxes them to take a walk. Some people it relaxes them to pet the dog. Some people relax better when they're playing with their grandchildren. Some people relax while they're cooking. You know, whatever it is, your absolute favorite thing to do is relaxes you and puts you in a better state of mind, do that.
Well, that's one piece of advice. He's pretty much already following, not only because it's good for his Crohn's, but also because it's good for his Alzheimer's. And so he loves to write, and he just sits and writes and writes and writes and writes. And, you know, some of it I edit, and he publishes, and some of it he just sets aside. But it's keeping him more joyfully invested in his life and in our life.
Right. That's wonderful.
What guiding concerns and principles hold all these different aspects of your work together? You know, you work for the company, you work on the rooftop garden thing, you work on helping companies set up fitness things. What sort of guides you and holds it all together for you?
You know, I just want to see people healthy. It is very, very sad to me that small children are now being diagnosed with things like Crohn's disease and high blood pressure and things like that, and it's just not necessary. Hands down, it's just not necessary. And, you know, when my grandparents passed away, they had so much leftover medication, and Grandpa passed from dementia, and by the time he passed away, he didn't know who any of us were. He didn't even remember his college years. He didn't remember marrying my grandmother. Nothing. He remembered nothing of his life. And that's just not cool. You know, my grandmother passed away from breast cancer. And when she passed, she had a mastectomy and she had radiation burns on her chest and she had lost all of her hair and she was already in her 80s. Why are we putting people through that when they're already in their 80s?
Not to mention
all the young people that are getting so very, very sick, and there's no need for it. You know, when I was at work with Mr. Clemens one day, there was a little boy 3 years old brought in by his mom, been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. That's not cool. That's not okay. You know, and there's got to be a different way for us to do this, because right now it's not sustainable. Right now, there are too many people that are sick. There were never this many people sick when I was a kid. There were not this many people sick. And there's got to be something done. There's got to be something done. And I am tired of watching the people that I love stay sick because they eat the way they eat. I am tired of watching people not be able to recover from things that they can't recover from, simply because their immune system is out of whack for one reason or another. It's just not okay. And we have the technology now to be able to develop things to prevent that. We have the technology now to say, okay, really it is this or that or the other. Let's fix it. And I want to fix it. I'm a fixer. I like to see people healthy and happy, and it needs to be done. Someone needs to do it, and I have appointed myself one of those people to do it.
That is great. Your passion comes through so clearly, and, you know, I think we need that kind of passion to drive our mission, whatever our mission should be. In fact, I'm writing a book, Vision, Passion, and Mission, based on some of the interviews for this show, because it seems to me that those are the elements that really make for successful change agents.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm glad you hear it.
How would interested listeners get in touch with you to either work with you or just communicate with you?
You can call me at 407-325-0204, or you can email me at michellehennessy240@yahoo.com. michellehennessy240@yahoo.com.
Right. And what advice or challenges would you like to leave our listeners with, Shelley? If they're inspired by you, what would you like to challenge them or advise them to do?
You know, I know exactly how hard it is to change your lifestyle. I really, really do. When I was first diagnosed, I smoked a pack and a half a day. I drank nothing but Dr. Pepper. And I ate at fast food restaurants all the time. So I know how hard it is. What I would suggest is put your health a priority over and above everything else. Is it expensive to eat healthy? It absolutely is. But go look in your medicine cabinet. How many prescriptions have you already paid for? Isn't that worth eating healthy, paying for those prescriptions? Because eventually you're going to pay for it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you want to be able to play with your kids and your grandkids and, like, play? You know, don't you want to be able to throw a ball with your grandson or play house with your granddaughters or build a fort with all of them? You know, you can't do that if you don't feel good. You can't do that if you are riddled with arthritis because you have eaten so many inflammatory foods that it doesn't go away. You know that everybody knows that it's not easy. Get a support system rallied around you. Get your girlfriends, get your kids, get your grandkids, especially your kids and your grandkids, because they want to see you healthy. They want to play with you. They want to hang out with you. I was just hanging out with my grandkids the other day, and my grandson is going to be 4 in May. He said, "Grandma, time to run and tickle."
Yeah.
And I had to tell him to wait a few minutes because I was talking to his mom. But you know what? I was able to run and tickle him, and I can flip my grandkids all over the place. You know, is it easy? No, especially not with all the commercials that are out and all the fast food restaurants all over the place. And, oh, it's just so much easier to stop here real quick. Yep, I know. I know every bit of that stuff. But if you make the conscious decision to put a little more effort into yourself, stop at the grocery store for an extra 5 minutes instead of the fast food place. You know, take an extra 15 minutes making dinner. Don't pop it in the microwave. Cook some dinner on the stove. Get your kids into it. Tell them that they have to start dinner before you get home from work and you'll finish it. Things like that. It's easier than people think it is, especially when you can get your family rallied around you to help.
That's good advice. Thank you. And thank you for inspiring us towards promoting a more holistic health environment, not only for us, but also for those in the community that may be less fortunate than us.
Yes.
It's important work.
It is. It is.
Very, very glad you're doing it and that you're talking about it with us. Is there anything we haven't asked, I haven't asked you about so far that you'd really like to share with our listeners before we sign off?
You know, when looking at your lifestyle and if you decide that you're going to make a change, instead of focusing on what you're going to lose, focus on what you're going to gain. Don't think about not being able to have Diet Coke anymore. Think about maybe being able to have a little more energy because you don't have all those extra chemicals in your body that it has to process. You know, instead of focusing on the fact that, you know, that bread might not be the best for you after a diabetes diagnosis. However,
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of great substitutes for it. You know, a lifestyle change should never, ever be a detriment. It should always be a positive factor in your life, always.
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet working with you as a coach that becomes more and more realistic sounding and more likely to happen.
Yeah, I try to make sure that my clients focus on that. You know, don't look at what you're losing, look at what you're gaining. You feel better, you look better, you sleep better, you work better. Everything, your entire life gets better just based on making better choices about what you're eating. It's great. It's fantastic.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing all this with us, and we will be in touch.
Awesome, thank you. It was great being on your show. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great.